With you tonight, if you'd please take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 3. And as Brother Stevens mentioned, have been here before, and it's nice to reconnect and see many familiar faces. We were here, I think, about 6 or 7 years ago, and the Darling family graciously hosted us as at their house as we brought our youth down here to hear from Brother Spurgeon when he was here. And that was a good meeting for our youth group when we came at that particular time, and passed through a few other times. But it's good to be here again. It's one of those churches that the first time I came through the door, I knew that I was in a Bible believing church. Just felt different. Just felt solid, and it felt grounded, and I appreciated that. And your pastor has been a good friend of mine. He's been up to preach for us and a number of times, and most recently about a year and a half ago, and always enjoy being around him. We'll just get right into it here this evening. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but let's look at the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and let's read the chapter where the scriptures say, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I. For thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called thee not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, Lord, thank you that we can meet in this place tonight. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this lighthouse, God, of this community and this city. Thank you for this pastor here. I thank you for the people who have made it out here tonight. God, I thank you for your word that you've given to us. I thank you for its purity. I thank you, God, that you can still speak to us today and speak to us through your word. I pray, God, that you take the message tonight. I pray, God, that it would be a help to your people. I pray that it would build them up in the faith, encourage them. God, that it would go forth and it would accomplish your will here tonight and not mine. Pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, believing. Amen. Amen. A very loaded portion of Scripture. So much in it, but I just want to draw your attention to a few things throughout the chapter here this evening. And the first thing that I want you to see here, when I look at this chapter, something that stands out to me right off the bat is that it was God's desire to speak to Samuel. It was his desire to speak to Samuel. It was God's desire to give him a specific message, and it was God's desire to give him specific instructions, not just for himself, but also for his predecessor, Eli, and some things concerning his son. And I found the longer that I'm saved, and I was raised in a Christian home and saved at an early age, but the longer I'm in God's Word and the longer that I'm saved, I found that the things in Scripture that baffle me sometimes are not the things that I don't understand, although they baffle me as well. It's the things that I do understand. The fact that God very clearly in His Word reveals that He wants to speak to us. He wants to have a conversation with you. He has something specific for you this week when you open His Word through the preaching of His Word. And Samuel is in that place. But as a young child here, we see that Samuel had not learned how to listen for the voice of the Lord. He didn't know the voice of the Lord. And he had, and it is very evident by the fact that the Lord calls him three times and he has not heard and he does not comprehend that it is the Lord speaking to him. And let me just say by way of introduction that I know not the congregation as your needs. I do not know your struggles. I do not know what you are going through. Brother Stevens has mentioned that it's been a busy summer. I think in North Dakota, we try to everybody tries to cram everything into summer. And summer is like 1 month. It's a little bit longer than that, but it snowed October 4th. In Bismarck this year. I had told some people in our church that I was actually, with how busy summer was, I was looking forward to winter. I should not have uttered that. Snow came October 4th, and now we've got snow for the next 7 months. And so we are beginning hibernation up there. But I say that to say that I asked your preacher, and I had an idea before I even asked the question, but I thought out of respect I should ask it. I said, is there anything specifically that that you would like me to kind of gear towards? He said, no, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And the fact of the matter is that I don't know your needs, but the Lord does. And this week, through the preaching here, by this minister and also Brother Nolan, I know that God has a desire to speak to you. And to speak to you specifically. And maybe he has a message for the church. And maybe he has something that everybody can come together around this week. But I know that it starts with individuals hearing something specifically from God to them. Now, if we're going to hear anything from the Lord this week, and the title of the message here tonight is Learning to Listen, I'd like to give you four things from the text that we're going to need. In verses number 1 through 4, we're going to need some preparation. It is obvious to me that Samuel is not prepared to hear God speak. God speaks and Samuel's like, what's up, Eli? He doesn't know the voice of the Lord. I would think the Lord's tone, his inflection, the way it sounded would be a little bit different than Eli's, but Samuel doesn't know. He hears the voice of the Lord. And he is not prepared to hear God speak. Now, when I look at verses 1 through 4, it's not that Samuel is doing anything wrong. And in fact, quite to the contrary, he appears to be an obedient young man. He has probably helped Eli with the daily routines around the temple. He has probably behaved himself throughout the day. In verse number 1, it says that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He's even doing things for the Lord, and yet he still has not heard God speak to him specifically in the midst of that. He's not prepared, and in fact, he doesn't even recognize it when it comes to him. In order for us to hear from God this week, it's going to take a little bit of preparation. You see, there is, of course, preparation that should be done on the part of the ministers and of the preachers. You wouldn't think much of myself or of Pastor Nolan or of Brother Stevens if we were to get up in the pulpit and say, glad you all came tonight. There's a verse in the Bible that says, says do good. So let's all do good. There's a verse in the Bible, I think it says that there's somewhere, something about being kind. So everybody, you all be kind this week, okay? And there's another verse in there that says something about we should love God. So there's my 3-point outline tonight. Do good, be kind, and love God. All right, let's break. You wouldn't think much of that. You would say, that man has not prepared. Now, perhaps some would like a message like that, if only to the fact that it was that long. But when you come into church, you come with an expectation. When you walk into Sunday school, you come in with an expectation that the preacher or the teacher has prepared something to serve to you, has prepared the food and has broken it down and has tread out the corn and those things and made it palatable to where you can take it and digest it. But did you know, as a hearer, there ought to be preparation as well. He that hath ears to hear, the Scripture says, let him what? Hear. He that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Soil, if you're a gardener or a farmer, I mess around with gardening a little bit. Soil must be prepared and prepped in order for seeds to sprout. And so the heart must be prepared if we expect God to speak to us. Not just this week, but really any time that God's Word is open to us. Success in any venture in life is largely in part, or is largely due, to proper preparation. If you want to get an A, you better study. You want to win a race or a competition, you better train. If you want to be good at work or at school or at sports or at parenting or at even things in the Christian life, at witnessing, you better practice and you better prepare. It takes preparation. In sports, it's often, I'm kind of a sports guy, I like sports and study it a little bit, watch it, enjoy it a little bit. In sports, it's often the most conditioned team that wins the trophy because they've spent time preparing. Whether you've ever thought about it or not, and I'm sure your pastor has taught you, the music here tonight was terrific, but the service is set up to prepare your heart to receive the Word. The music comes in, it's different from what you heard out there this week. You come in and immediately you're met with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they just don't talk the same as they do outside of this place. And then the service is opened and we bow our heads in prayer, the men gather down here. What is that? That is all part of preparation. You should be involved in that preparation. It's not unlike the arrival of the kids at the dinner table who sit down and say, "Where's the food, Mom? It's time to eat." Expecting to receive something. But I found that in our household, though my wife may cook the meal or I might step in there and I might do some cooking from time to time, there ought to be preparation on the part of the whole family. You know what we do whenever we have dinner at our house, and before it's time to eat, we say it's time to what? Wash up. If you're going to come in and you're going to get ready, if you're going to sit down and enjoy this meal, my dad used to say this when we'd come home Sunday morning after church. He'd say, and get ready to eat dinner, he'd say, "Everybody go to the bathroom and wash your hands. Wash all the Baptist off your hand." And so we would. All the kids, we'd go in there, we'd wash our hands. Now we're ready to eat. We've washed up. And if we're going to hear something from God this week, we can prepare for the meal by washing up. And of course, the Scriptures are clear. Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. O God, renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me. You want to prepare for dinner, you better wash up a little bit. You want to prepare for dinner, you know what you have to do? You have to set the table. In our house, we've got four kids, and three of them are of the age where they have been given responsibility, a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old that we're giving responsibility, and then we have to pull it back a little bit, and then we give a little bit more, and she makes a big mess, and then we pull it back, and then we give a little bit more. But when it's dinner time, they all have a responsibility, whether it's setting out the plates, or setting out the forks, or getting the napkins, or perhaps getting the water, or bringing the food to the table. Everybody has a part in the preparation of that meal. It's amazing how much better dinner goes when everybody has a part. And let me tell you, the meals here will be better if you have a part, if you participate, if you sing, if you welcome, if all of these things are part of preparation. I found that when we sit down for dinner, that meals go better when the kids have not snacked right before dinner. You ever sit down for dinner and you put the food in front of the kids and it's like, you know, it's broccoli or whatever, it's this nice wholesome meal, but they're not interested in it. Why are they not interested in it? Well, they ate snacks all afternoon. Grandma came over, or the mother-in-law or whatever, fed them snacks all afternoon. Now they sit down for dinner and they're not interested in it. Same is true spiritually speaking. If you're constantly feeding on junk, if you're constantly filling yourself with weak substitutes and non-nutritious things, and then you come in and you expect, oh, come on, preacher, feed me. Come in with an appetite. Come in prepared. And then, of course, when you sit down for dinner, you know what you do? You pray and you thank God for the meal before you eat. Not after it, right? Am I right there? Thank you, Lord, for this before. And I wonder how much different church would be. I wonder how much different it would be for you if when you came into church, you bowed your head and you thanked God for what you were about to receive before you ever heard it. Instead of waiting to the end and saying, well, I don't know about that meal. I'm not going to thank God for that one. We need to prepare this week. We need to prepare our hearts. Samuel was not prepared. We also need something else. Look at verses 4 through 8. In 4 through 8, the Lord is calling Samuel. Verse number 4, Samuel. The Lord in verse number 6, the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Verse number 8, the Lord called again Samuel the third time. He's calling. You know what we're going to need? We're going to need to not only have some preparation, we're going to need to have some concentration. God calls him three times without him even recognizing that it's his voice. I think it's becoming more and more difficult in the world that we live in, a world that has moved from words to images so rapidly for us all to concentrate. It's nothing to sit for 3 hours at a TV show or a sports show or something like that, and yet all of a sudden our patience is tested. Should the message extend 5 minutes too late or 10 minutes too late? We've trained ourselves to not be able to concentrate on the spoken word or the written word. And I get it. It's the world that we live in. And if there's not a picture to illustrate it, then people are generally bored these days. And so you know what it's going to take for you to hear something from God? It's going to take some concentration. You're going to have to focus on the Scriptures at hand. You're going to have to read it carefully as the preacher reads it. I found that you may even receive something from the text that was not mentioned by the preacher if you'll just concentrate when God's Holy Word is read. You're going to have to determine to not be distracted. Distractions come all the time, and they're going to come this week. They've already come with the heat, and you've got your own illustrations of distractions that came this week. I remember at youth camp one time, I went to youth camp, and the preacher's up there, and he's preaching, and he's just, yelling and ripping and fire, you know, and he's all over the place. And then all of a sudden, I see all the kids, and then I got in on it too. All the kids were going like this. And here we are at the chapel, and I look up, and sure enough, there was a bird that had made its way into the chapel. And the preacher's preaching, and all of a sudden he looks, and all the kids are going like this, and like this, and like this, you know. And And then he looks up and he sees it. And he says, "What's the matter with all you guys? Haven't you ever seen a bird before?" And the reality is you've seen birds all the time. You see birds every day. You see them all over the place. You never look at birds. But if a bird comes in the church when God's word is being preached, you can guarantee you're going to look at it. Why? Because it's a distraction. It's a distraction. And there's going to be, hopefully, no birds get in here this week. We have bats in our church. Talk about, they haven't made its way into the service yet. But they've made their way into the building. We've not located the source yet. I'm just waiting for one of these Sundays for one of them to come off the brick. We got brick in the front of the building, brick in the back. And the bat guy, there's actually a bat guy. I found that there's a bat guy. He's got a bat tattoo, and he's a bat exterminator. Actually, he doesn't exterminate them. He catches them, and he releases them because he likes bats. But anyways, one of these days, and when he was there, he told me that they like to hang on the brick. And so we've got brick in the front, brick in the back. And I just know one of these days, a bat's going to come swooping down through the church. And that's going to be it. I'm just going to have to close down the service. All the ladies will freak out. But where are we at here? I don't know. I'm distracted. See? That wasn't in my message. I got distracted in my message. And there's going to be distractions. You come to church and somebody's phone is going to go off. Right? I mean, it's just going to happen. A little baby's going to start crying or something like that, you know, and mom won't notice it for 5 minutes. Some little kid's going to pass gas. And a whole section of the church is going to laugh for 5 minutes. This stuff happens, and it's a distraction. I mean, you should see the things that you see from the pulpit. We just need to, like, take turns. Like, every week, someone gets to come up here and sit in the chair and just, like, see what the preacher sees all the time. When all that stuff happens, you know what everybody does? It's like this. And look, if I'm sitting there, I'm in on it, right? But if it happens right there, everybody goes like this. Right? And looks at it, and the preacher could be right in the middle of his point, you know, he's getting right to the meat of it, you know, and we're really nailing in on this thing, and then here comes the distraction, and all of a sudden, whoop, and everybody, or so it feels like everybody's just gone. Then you're going to got to rewind, you know, okay, let's get back into this thing. Why is that? Distractions. There will be distractions this week. You're going to have to determine to not be distracted. There's going to be distractions outside of this place this week. Something will happen. Something at work. A kid's going to get sick. Something will happen to just kind of throw you off course and say, "Oh, we can't make it tonight. Can't get in there. Oh, we kind of got to deal with this." There's going to be distractions. Determine not to be distracted. Concentrate if you are to hear from God. Concentration is active. It is not passive. It requires effort. And it's work sometimes. I'm not saying it's always easy. But we need to do it. Determined to not be a distraction to others, let us consider one another. To provoke one another unto love and good works, let us consider one another. You know, as a kid, I didn't get that. I just came to church and it's just kind of what we did, and I didn't really realize the serious nature of church. And it's just part of being a kid. I didn't realize that there was hurt sitting next to me. I didn't realize that there was someone two rows in front of me who desperately needed to hear the words that night. And as a kid, you're just kind of in there and it's just, "Oh, that happened. That's kind of funny," or that, and it's easy to get involved in the distractions and not consider that somebody else sitting next to us desperately needs to hear what is being said. We're going to need some preparation. We're going to need some concentration. Not only that, we're going to need some illumination. In verses number 9 through 14, Eli finally hears from God. Excuse me, Samuel. Eli has told him, go back and tell the Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. This is the Lord speaking to you. And Samuel goes and he, for the first time, hears from the Lord. And the Lord reveals some things to him. The Lord, so to speak, turns the light on in Samuel's life. He illuminates some things. Now, this can only come from God. I'd like to say that somewhere in my computer, in my sermon catalog, is the message that's going to change your life. Or this is the one message that you really need to hear. And this is going to be the ticket. This is going to be what's really going to grab your heart. But the reality is, out of all those messages in there and all the different things that God has shown me through His Word and prompted me and given me to speak, it really won't do anyone any good unless the Lord turns the light on for you and illuminates some things for you. I constantly need the Lord to reveal things to me, things about myself, things that I'm not even aware of. And I think David said it the best way when he said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The word of the Lord is not bound, and whenever this book is opened, and whenever this book is spoken, and whenever the preacher puts it out, there is an opportunity to hear far more than the words that are coming out of the preacher's mouth. Ask God to speak to you, to illuminate you, far beyond what the preacher may even say. You may find a simple sentence or a phrase ties back to something you read earlier this week or something that your pastor said a couple weeks ago. And through that, God confirms some things and reveals truth to you. You have a personal God who has personal messages for you in His Word. Please, this week, do not be so focused on the earthen vessels in front of you that you miss the treasure that is the message that God has for you. Some of the most helpful things in my Christian life came from people you would have never heard of. Words spoken here, a preacher or pastor, some small church over here in some little town that nobody's heard of, and yet God used him and used a message and used the words that he spoke to convey truth to me. We need God to illuminate us this week. You know, I've often been amazed at how God works through preaching. When I first took over the church in Bismarck, people would come up to me and they would say, preacher, I remember when you said... And then they'd mess it up. They'd be like, I remember when you were preaching last week and you said this. And it's like, no, I remember what I said, and that was definitely not it. And right away I used to say, well, no, that's not what I said. But then after a while, I started realizing something. I realized, and unless it was heresy, then I would correct him on that. But I realized that God was saying far more than I was saying. And somewhere between the time when I'm reading this, and I'm preaching this, and I'm speaking this, somewhere between the words that are coming out of my mouth and when it lands in the ears and comes into the ears of those people, God is taking it and translating it and giving it to them in the way that they need to hear it. And He'll do that to you this week. We need Him to illuminate some things for us this week. And not just that, if we could look lastly here in verses number 15 through 18. In verses 15 through 18, we need a preparation of the heart. We need concentration of the mind. We need illumination from God. If we're going to hear anything from the Lord this week, we need application from individuals. In verses number 15 through 18, Samuel has heard from the Lord and he goes and he returns to Eli and he tells Eli exactly what he heard from God. The question really at the end of this week, or really any time that God's Word is preached, is What are you going to do with what God has given you? How are you going to apply that? You know, the scripture says that the word of God effectually worketh in us that believeth. But it only effectually works in us if it's applied, if we take it and use it. There's a great difference between hearing the theory and hearing exactly how it should be and actually taking it and applying it when we leave this place. Samuel does that. In Bible school, we learned things in theory, and they were great. Applying those things sometimes was different. In the construction world, there are framers who are notorious for getting upset at architects because the architects know how the building is supposed to go together in theory. But when you actually get on the site, things are a little bit different. And so we can hear everything this week, and we can allow God to illuminate, and we can be prepared, and we can concentrate, but unless we take it and actually apply it from this place, then it's not going to do us any good. You know, I heard that some of you in here are hunters, and some of you are going to Montana, and we'll have to get up sometime later this week and talk about hunting in Montana. But one of the most important things that I learned about hunting, or have learned about hunting, in particular bow hunting, is scent control. First time when I moved to North Dakota, I had not bow hunted before. I'd only rifle hunted. I went and I sat in a tree stand. And I was going to start hunting whitetails. I went in there and I brought my cup of coffee. And I sat there and I sipped coffee and I waited for the whitetails to come by. And they never did. It took me a while to realize they did not like my coffee breath. And then it went from that, learning that, oh, I got to wash my clothes and I got to descent them, and then I got to hang them outside and let them smell natural, and I got to shower once in a while. I got to do all of these things so that when I get in the environment and get out there where all the whitetails are at and they stick their noses up in there, that they don't detect me. You know, when you do all of that, they have these things. They have scent washing detergents. They have spray that you spray on, and I do all that stuff when I go out bow hunting. All of those things do me no good unless I actually apply them. You know, ladies in here, before you came tonight, you know what you did? You applied makeup, probably, right? It does no good sitting on the counter there in the bathroom, right? You have to take it, you have to open it up, and you have to do what you do, right? Men, the deodorant really does no good when it's just sitting there, right? It has to be applied. We have to take these things and apply them this week. The Lord said this, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If God speaks to you this week, if you've prepared, you've concentrated, God has illuminated things to you, then you're going to have to take those things and apply them. A church member once said to a pastor, "That was a great sermon until you got to all the therefores." He wisely said that the therefores are why the sermon exists in the first place. That you may take these things and apply them. You can look at the rest of the text, and if you look down at verse number 19, you'll see that Samuel from this point does not let the words of the Lord fall to the ground. Got addicted to hearing that, hearing God speak to him, and he wanted to hear some more. And then you look down in verse number 21 and you see that the Lord appeared again. And God will do that for you. I hope he speaks to you this week. In verse number 10, I think that the key to the whole passage is what Samuel says in verse number 10. Eli gives him wise instruction when he says, "Why don't you go back to your room? Why don't you lay down? And when you hear that voice again, why don't you say this, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" In this week, as we head into this meeting, and you can take this and you can apply this anytime God's word is spoken to you, maybe that could be the attitude that we go into this week with. God, I don't know what you're going to speak to me about. I don't know what you want to illuminate to me. Oftentimes, it's not the things that we expected. Oftentimes, it's not the needs that we thought were going to be met. It's something different God has to deal with us about. But how about the attitude this week that we go into it is, speak, Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm your servant, and I will hear. And what you give me, I will take, and I will apply it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your precious word.